We're going to look this morning at that passage we read from John chapter 12, especially the opening verses of that chapter. Now the first four books of the New Testament are quite remarkable. They're historical accounts of the time of Christ, but they're different from other histories. They leave out many things which other histories would include, but they include many things that other histories would leave out. For instance, the Gospels tell us virtually nothing about the Roman Emperor. They tell us very little about the sordid life of King Herod, things which the world regard as very important. The Bible passes over very superficially. But then things which the world regards as totally unimportant, the Bible dwells upon them. Indeed, the Gospel writers give accounts, such as the one we have here in John 12, of a woman who anointed the feet of Jesus with an expensive ointment. Secular historians would dismiss that as insignificant. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, one woman who loves Christ is more important than the Roman Emperor. That is the value that the Bible puts on love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this story. There are four passages in the Gospels which tell how a woman anointed Jesus. There's one in Luke 7, verse 37, another in Matthew 26, verse 6, another in Mark 14, verse 3, and this one in John 12. Are they all describing the same event? There's a great deal of debate among Christians about that. My opinion, for what it's worth, is this. The story in Luke 7, verse 37, is a separate account. But the other stories in Matthew and Mark and this one in John all describe the same event, Jesus being anointed by Mary of Bethany. There are some minor differences, but they can all be harmonized. Just 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany and was invited to a dinner given in his honor. Matthew and Mark tell us it was held in the house of Simon the leper, obviously a man who'd been cured of his leprosy, maybe had been cured by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was putting on this dinner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' friend Lazarus, who had died recently but then been raised from the dead, he was there. So also were his friends Mary and Martha. Martha, true to form, was helping to serve the meal. While the guests were reclining at the table in Eastern fashion, Mary took an alabaster jar of very precious perfume, a pound of it, anointed Jesus with it. Matthew and Mark say that she anointed his head. John says here that she anointed his feet, but there's no contradiction. Obviously Mary did both. And that is confirmed by Matthew 26, verse 12, where Jesus says, "She's poured this perfume over my body." So she poured this perfume on Jesus so lavishly over his head that it poured over his body and over his feet as well. Then she proceeded to wipe his feet with her hair. Now the first and obvious thing here is this, that Mary was a woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. A pure spiritual love. I hasten to add that because some evil-minded people have suggested that there was something erotic about this love that Mary had for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was a pure spiritual love. Her heart was full of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is more obvious than that from this particular story. And she came and she poured this expensive perfume over him as a token of her love and devotion to him. And as such, she is an example to each one of us. Indeed, Matthew and Mark both tell us how the Lord said that wherever the gospel would be preached, what this woman had done would be remembered. Wherever the gospel would be preached throughout the world, what this woman had done would be remembered. She's obviously an example to Christians of all ages. Let's look at this love that she had for Jesus and test ourselves by it. The real test of our spiritual health is not how long we've been coming to church, not how much Bible knowledge we've crammed into our heads, not how doctrinally sound we are, although all those things are very important. But the real test of our spiritual health is how much do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we love him as Mary loved him? So let's put ourselves to the test. First of all, her love was a love which was shown. She didn't just say that she loved the Lord. She showed it that day in Bethany. The sad thing about us, and I include myself in this, is that so often we say we love the Lord, we say it with our lips, but we don't always show it in the way that we act toward him. But Mary did. She brought this expensive perfume to him and lavished it upon him. Now, of course, the Lord is no longer physically with us, so we can't come to him as Mary did and anoint him with oil. But we can still show our love for him in various ways, by always putting him first in our lives, by giving him the preeminence in our lives, by worshiping with him with all our hearts and with warmth and sincerity, by spending time in his presence and speaking with him and listening to him. If you really love someone, you're anxious to be with them and to speak with them. And if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be anxious to hear him speaking to us, and we'll be anxious to speak with him. We'll be anxious to read his word. Can you remember when your husband or your wife or your fiancé was away from you? Away on business, maybe, or away at university. And how you longed to get those letters, and how eagerly you read those letters that came. I'm talking about days before mobiles, and talking about days before emails. How you longed to get that letter to the post, and to read that letter from this person you loved. And if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be eager to read his word. We'll be eager to hear what he's got to say to us. We'll be eager in that way and show our love in that way. Her love was a love that was shown. Or to put that another way, her love was a love which could be seen by others. Everybody in the house could see that Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other guests. It wasn't something secret. Everybody could see that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we like that? Can men and women all around us see that we really do love the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, when I look at the man of the world, I can see that he loves his sport. I can see that he loves his football. He talks about the big match days before it takes place. And when the day comes, he's eager to get there on time, to get the best seat. And he watches all the action avidly. And he gets excited. When a goal is scored, he stands up and he's excited about that. He doesn't want the match to end. It's so thrilling. Pleased if he goes into extra time. He's still there. And if there's a replay on Wednesday night, he's there again. He'll even go without his tea in order to get to the replay on Wednesday night. I can see the man of the world loves his football. I can see it. Then when the match is over, he talks about it for days on. Did you see that goal? What a goal that was. Then compare many Christians. Sometimes Christians drag their feet to get to church. Should I go this morning or shall I not? I might stay at home. They're looking at their watches and they want it to be over as soon as possible. And if the service should go into extra time or go on a bit longer than you thought, some people moan about that. And as for coming to the replay on Wednesday, the prayer meeting, they would never dream of doing that. They haven't been to a prayer meeting for years. Do you see the difference? I can see the man of the world. I can see that he loves his football. But when you look at some Christians, you can't see that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. The love that Mary had was the love that was shown, the love that could be seen. Then, it was also a love which was sacrificial. Did you notice how much that ointment was worth? How much it cost? How expensive it was? Mary, dear humble soul, Mary didn't tell us how much it cost. But Judas was there. We'll come to him later. Judas was there. And as Mary poured out this precious oil on Jesus, he was there with his pocket calculator, and he worked out that amount of oil would cost 300 denarii, a year's wages. It was a very sacrificial thing to do, wasn't it? To pour out a year's wages on the Lord Jesus Christ. Her love was a sacrificial love. It cost her something. This oil, this perfume, was very expensive. It was a kind of perfume which came, we're told, from a remote area of the Himalayas, near Tibet there. Very costly, very expensive. Do we love the Lord like that? With a love that is sacrificial? Are we willing to give sacrificially of our money to the Lord's work? We sing, don't we? Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. I've seen misers sing that like angels. Are we willing to make our love sacrificial for the Lord? Are we willing to give him sacrificially of our time and our energy? Praise God, many Christians are. Thank God for them who serve the Lord sacrificially. But some Christians, they kind of reason like this. When I've done all my pleasures, when I've finished digging my garden, when I've finished cleaning my car, and when I've finished dealing with my hobbies, and when I've seen all the movies I want to see, and when I've read all the books I want to read, then I might consider serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary, her love for him was a sacrificial love. Would we be willing to put our lives on the line for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Next month I'm going to Cambodia, and the more I've read about Cambodia, I've thought, well, those Christians should be coming to me to teach me. So many, many Christians gave their lives during the Pol Pot genocide. So many, many Christians. Would I be willing to put my life on the line for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Mary's love was a sacrificial love. Then will you notice also spontaneous? It broke out. It burst forth into this expression of devotion. Her heart was so full and overflowing with love to the Lord Jesus Christ that she could contain it no longer. She broke open this alabaster jar of perfume and poured it over the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so obvious from the story. In verse 7, Jesus explains to Judas and others that Mary had been saving this expensive perfume for the day of his burial. As we will see in a moment, Mary knew that her Lord was going to die. And he'd bought this precious perfume in order to anoint his body when he died. But she had come to that house that day with that perfume, and spontaneously she'd poured this perfume over the Lord Jesus Christ. She couldn't contain it longer. It was a spontaneous expression of her love. Do we know anything about that, Christian friends? Our hearts so filled with love for the Lord that we feel we can't contain ourselves any longer. We feel that we must express, we must pour out our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do it by breaking open an alabaster jar of perfume and pouring it over him. But do you ever feel you can't contain your love for the Lord any longer? Sometimes our love is so cold, isn't it, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to some words by Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts wrote, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. In vain we tune our formal songs, in vain we strive to rise. Hosannas languish on our tongues, and our devotion dies. And shall we then forever live at this poor dying rate, our love so faint, so cold to thee, and thine to ours so great? Shall we forever live at this poor dying rate?" Kind of lukewarm Christianity. God help us to be so full of love for Christ that we can't help bursting out in praise to him, loving him and adoring him. We sang a little while ago, "Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint." Do you feel like that? I often feel like that. "Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint, but I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more." So let's look and see, why did Mary love the Lord Jesus Christ so much? Why should we love him more than we do? First of all, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ because she knew that he was the eternal Son of God. Both she and her sister Martha knew that and believed that. Back in chapter 11, verse 27, Martha had confessed, "Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Mary would have said amen to that statement. She herself, in this 12th chapter, calls Jesus Lord. She knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was someone very special, the Son of God, the Lord of glory. That's why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. He's not just another religious leader. He's not just another religious teacher. He's the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory. She loved him so much, secondly, because she knew he was going to die for her. That's obvious, I think, from that statement which Jesus made in verse 7. She had bought this precious ointment to pour on his body, to anoint his body when he had died. So she knew that he was going to die. Jesus had often visited their home in Bethany. And no doubt our Lord had told her and Martha and Lazarus that he was going to die. And he was going to die to bear the punishment of their sin. And that's why our hearts should be full of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. He left his home in glory. He came to the sinful world. He laid aside all the splendor of heaven and came to this poverty-stricken sinful world. Became a servant and went to the cross and died. And when he died upon the cross, all our sin was laid on him. And he bore the punishment of our sin in our place. He died for us. in order that we might be saved from our sin, in order that we might be saved from hell, in order that we might go to heaven when we die. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. That's a children's hymn. But we adults should sing it as well. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a wretch like me. If we're Christians, he has saved us. His death has been effective in our lives. And we have been saved from our sin. We have been saved from our guilt. We have been saved from our bondage. We have been saved from hell. We've been made children of God. We've been made heirs of glory. And when we die, we'll go on to spend eternity in his glorious, wonderful presence. We should love him more, shouldn't we, when we think about that? You remember C.T. Studd's wonderful statement? C.T. Studd said, "If Christ be God and gave himself for me, no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. If Christ be God and sacrificed himself for me, no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Here's another reason why Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He had helped her in a great crisis. You remember the great crisis that came into her life and Mary's and Martha's life? We're told in this passage that Lazarus, who had died and been raised, he was there at the feast. He was there at the dinner. And maybe that is what prompted Mary to make the sacrifice, pouring this ointment over Jesus. The sight of her brother there alive and well at the feast, because he died. That was a great tragedy to Mary and Martha. But Jesus had come to their home at that time of crisis. He'd drawn near to them and he'd helped them in the time of crisis. And that's why we as Christians love the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many times he's drawn near to us. I guess most Christians have gone through some crisis or another. A loved one very, very sick. A loved one who's died. You're very, very sad. You wonder, how can I cope with this crisis? But we've been aware, haven't we, of the Lord Jesus Christ drawing near to us and giving us help, supporting us during a time of great crisis. That's why we love him. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend who'll never leave us nor forsake us. He watches over us day by day. So that's why we love the Lord Jesus Christ and should love him more than we do. How does my love for the Lord Jesus Christ measure up to the love that Mary showed? Someone may say, well, I'm afraid my love for the Lord is not what it should be. My love for the Lord has waned over the years. When I was first converted, how I loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I would do anything for him. No sacrifice was too great when I was first converted. But somehow, the world has blighted my love, and I no longer love the Lord Jesus Christ like that. I'd do anything. I would do anything to love the Lord like Mary. I would do anything to recover that initial love for my Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we must humble ourselves before him and confess the coldness of our love and seek his forgiveness. Tell him that we've not loved him as we should have done. Confess the coldness of your love to him. That's the first step in getting right with the Lord. Be honest with him. Then, of course, if we would love, if we would have this ardent love for the Lord Jesus Christ that Mary had, we must deal with anything in us which is stifling that love. It may be that there is some idol in our life which is vying with the Lord Jesus Christ for the chief place in our lives. It may be some worldly practice that we're indulging in. It may be some hobby or sport or leisure activity, perfectly good in and of itself, but it's come into our life and it's been the big idol now, and it's pushed out the Lord Jesus Christ, taken over the chief place in our lives. Whatever it is that is stifling our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, let's ask God for grace to get rid of it. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. We need to spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ, reading his word, meeting with his people, listening to his word, praying to him. We need to spend more time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you do if you really love someone, isn't it? You spend more time with them. And if we want to love the Lord more, we need to spend more time with him. And in particular, we need to dwell, we need to meditate upon our Lord's atoning death. I have no doubt that Mary did that. She had this perfume ready to anoint his body when he died. And as she saw that perfume on the shelf each day, that would remind her that her Lord was going to die for her. And we should remind ourselves each day, every morning when we wake up, we should remind ourselves that we've been saved by the precious blood of Christ. Remind ourselves every day that we owe everything to the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask the Lord to draw near to us and to meet with us afresh. Our Lord came to that house that day to have that dinner, where he drew near to where Mary was, and that inspired her love for him. And we should pray that as we meet together on the Lord's day like this, all of us may be wonderfully aware of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a word of warning, a word of warning. It's only right you should know. If our hearts really are fired up with love for the Lord, if we become ardent and fervent in our love for him, then we'll get criticism. We'll get opposition. If we really love the Lord and show that love, then we will get opposition. And it came from an unexpected quarter. It came of one of our Lord's, from one of our Lord's professing disciples, this man Judas. He found fault with what she did. He condemned her. He tried to dress it up in pious language and try to make out that he was interested in the poor people. Shouldn't this money have been given to poor people? He tried to make himself out to be very spiritual. But really, behind the scenes, he was a thief and wanted the money for himself. And he found fault with Mary for the love that she showed to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you really are ardent about your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you show that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get criticism. You'll get opposition. And sometimes that will come from religious people. Because the warmth of your love for Christ and the reality of your love for Christ will show up the tawdriness and the emptiness of their mere religion. There is nothing that so annoys merely religious people than someone who evidently loves the Lord Jesus Christ. So be prepared for that. If you really stand up for the Lord Jesus and love him with all your heart, you'll face opposition and you'll face criticism, often from nominally religious people. But why worry about that? Who cares what people say? Providing the Lord accepts you and providing you are his disciple. Horatius wrote some words, men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men? That's the main thing. That the Lord Jesus Christ knows that we love him. Knows that we want to love him more. And if he knows that, that's all that matters. Let men criticize and women criticize for all they're worth. The Lord Jesus Christ knows that we love him and long to love him more. So let's sing our final hymn.